This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Well, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We were just listening to the press conference at the White House right now. We're going to continue to monitor that and get back to it if they break any news. I want to get to our guest a little bit earlier than usual, but that's not a problem at all. Jeroy Murdoch is with us, nationally syndicated columnist and Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor as well. Jeroy, welcome back.
Annie, great to talk to you.
You know, one thing that hasn't been talked about, I guess maybe as much this week, because some other things have boiled up to the top, the DOGE cuts and what they're able to find as far as waste, fraud, and abuse have been pretty epic, one might say. And I think that it's important to understand when this money is being pulled back, especially from like USAID and all of that, that the ability of people to be helped outside of government laundered money, they might even be helped better if the government weren't involved in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. The idea is, oh, my God, if the government pulls out of this activity, people will starve, planes will fall out of the sky, what have you. And in fact, there is a thriving domestic and to some degree international philanthropic effort to help people with everything from health challenges to general economic growth and upliftment, human development, what have you. And USAID certainly has no monopoly in that sort of thing. And so much of the stuff they do is, you know, if you're lucky, it's counterproductive if it's not totally, completely destructive. And a good sort of alternative to that is the Atlas Network, with which I work. I've been associated with the Atlas Network since 1994. And we work with about 500 free market think tanks and civil society organizations around the world, U.S. about 500 organizations in the U.S., about 100 countries, I should say. And so we're doing things, for example, to compare. In Sri Lanka, USAID spent almost $8 million, $7.9 million to teach Sri Lankan journalists how to avoid binary gender language. It's almost hard to pronounce, you know, the idea that they're just men and just women. Instead, it should be this whole, you know, 56 or 100 or 300 different genders, what have you. Although it'd be kind of silly and useless and not productive. Contrast that to $600,000 that the Atlas Network has spent since 2015 working with an organization called the Advocata Institute in Sri Lanka. And they've been working with them to try to persuade the government to reduce its activities, move away from price controls on various products, to reduce tariffs on everything from maize to feminine hygiene products, and essentially has gotten the policymakers to move away from their big spending, big borrowing, big taxing ways, and try to move more towards free market, limited government, and higher prosperity type situation. And again, the money that's being spent is not U.S. government money, it's private sector philanthropic money.
Yeah.
So the U.S. taxpayers are not on the hook for this kind of thing.
You know, I'm reading this article that you have right now. People can check out in the Daily Signal. It's about this a little bit. I'm reading this one paragraph here. It says USAID spent $7.9 million to teach Sri Lankan journalists how to avoid, quote, binary gender language. And you know, when you remember, if somebody wants to invest their own money and try to persuade people to do that, I don't know that I really care or have a say. But when you start talking about taxpayer dollar funds, how does the American government actually advocate for that almost $8 million to be spent? Like, how does the American taxpayer benefit from that?
I don't see how the American taxpayer does. And I think a lot of this stuff in certain countries, not only does it not help them very much, it doesn't help the U.S. National interest very much. I don't think Sri Lanka has a very large Islamic fundamentalist population, but imagine doing something like this in a place like Pakistan, in a place like Syria, in a place like Egypt, what have you, where you actually have a very strong, very fundamentalist Islamic-type community there. They hear about this sort of thing, instantly they can run out and say, see, look what the infidels are doing, look what these terrible people are doing, they're spreading all this gender stuff here, we don't want any part of that, so please sign up for Al-Qaeda, sign up for ISIS, sign up for Hamas, whatever it might be, and let's put a stop to this kind of chaos. So this definitely in places like the Middle East and more conservative countries, not only is it not productive, I think it's deeply counterproductive to what U.S. national interests are.
Well, part of the uncovering of all of this spending and really trying to claw it back has been the efforts of Elon Musk's Doge. And we've seen, of course, Elon Musk, who owns and operates Tesla, just this wild, angry outbreak of people trying to, you know, ruin the days of in a life of somebody who owns and operates a Tesla. A lot of those people are probably leftists, or maybe were at some point. Maybe they're shifting a little bit. What do you make of the reaction of the public that decides to just immediately go to this kind of rage that exists where they have to take it out on other American citizens?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of crazy. And, you know, we're saying, for example, if you're going to spend $7.6 million in Argentina to try to get LGBT, quote unquote, journalists to focus on climate change, and I ask the question, you know, does carbon dioxide affect the gay gene? Maybe they'll get to the bottom of that one. And folks like Doge and folks like Atlas Network as well point to this sort of thing and say, you know, is anybody getting any actual value out of this? And, you know, you can debate yes, you can debate no, but unfortunately what the left is doing instead of having an intelligent discussion about this is saying, okay, let's just set Teslas on fire. Let's take keys and scratch up the paint jobs on Teslas. Let's issue death threats. Let's stop people on the streets. And as you saw in Seattle, this woman is driving along minding her damn business. And somebody stopped in front of her, jumped out and started screaming at her, calling her a Nazi. I mean, this is just unhinged, crazy, demented behavior. And the arson you saw in Las Vegas where they set three or four Teslas on fire. I think Austin, Texas, at a Tesla dealership yesterday, the day before, they found three incendiary bombs that were going to go off. Fortunately, were diffused, so nobody got hurt. But this is terrorism. There's no other word for it. This is terrorist behavior. And you'd think if people had something intelligent to say and say, look, this is not such a bad program. We should keep this. This is actually doing some good. All right, come out and explain that. Maybe there's an argument for doing this sort of thing. But they don't engage in persuasion or debate. They are engaging increasingly in violence. And this is what the Democrat left has turned into. These are dangerous and violent, vicious people. And yet these are the same people who say, oh, we want civil discourse and, oh, Trump is so mean and he's a Nazi and he's a fascist and all this sort of thing. And yet you don't see people on the right setting cars on fire and firing bullets into car dealerships. This is happening on the left, not on the right.
Yeah, it is. And it's almost predictable. It's how sad it is. Well, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for shifting your time a little bit so we could still get you on. DeRoy, we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet, Annie. Okay, my pleasure. Take care. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye. DeRoy Murdoch with us right there. So let's shift back here real quick. Let's just go live to the press conference. They're asking questions right now. Be curious to see what the questions are, what they're asking about. Let's pull it up.
And he was very careful about his communications when he was in Russia. So rest assured to the American public, this administration is taking every precaution when it comes to protecting our national security. And that's why the American people reelected this president, because they know that our national security is in good hands with the president of the United States. Speaking of the vice president, I understand he's going to be speaking any moment now. I would hate to counter-program the vice president of the United States. You'll also hear from the president at 3 o'clock. He will be honoring women's history at the Women's History Month celebration. We have a lot of great women across our cabinet who will be in
attendance.
So it
sounds like she's wrapping up so that J.D. Vance can have the stage here. So we'll take it back here. I am continuously amazed, and I shouldn't be. It's kind of what we all suspected the whole time. Going back to DeRoy's article here and talking about the Atlas Network, which he works for. Remember, there's private entities that are trying to help specific causes all of the time, who have a lot more to answer to, unfortunately, than bureaucratic government swamp creatures who just keep the thing going and probably don't even know that this type of stuff exists. In this article, Haitians, let's see here. He's talking about Haiti because, you know, the Hillary Clinton stuff in Haiti and the Clinton
Foundation
stuff. That's just It's really remarkable how much money has been swept up in these sort of, you know, human rights campaigns, these efforts made to help people who are more marginalized. All of this money comes in and then they don't end up seeing it. I'm going to read from the paragraph in the Daily Signal here. Devolving into the party of arson is unwise for Democrats, especially after last month's Harvard-Harris survey found that 76% of U.S. voters support chopping waste and fraud from federal expenditures. One need not be Milton Friedman to be enraged by what Doge uncovered just in Haiti. Since 2010, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, has made some $2 billion in grants tied to that star-crossed Caribbean nation. Only 2% of those funds actually reach Haitian companies and organizations.
Wow, 2%. That's terrible. That's criminal.
Yeah.
That makes me mad.
It should. Do you think, like, how do you feel that, how do you think, I mean, I don't even know if, I don't know what the awareness is in Haiti, but imagine watching some of these very, very, especially relatively wealthy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
American politicians strutting around for all the support that they've lent Haiti, and you know the truth.
Yeah, and getting all the accolades and really living like royalty there is anytime they're there. And just the hypocrisy.
$2 billion, $40 million of it to Haiti. Where's the rest of the money? Isn't that the question?
This is a little bit separate issue, but since you cited it in those stats, you know, that poll, the way that it was worded, sounded like it was asking, are you in favor of trimming waste, fraud, and abuse from government spending? 70% said yes. That tracks exactly with that stat I always bring up, that 30% of America before the election said, Joe Biden is fine. That's 30% of Americans asked that question, said, no, I don't want to trim waste, fraud, and abuse from the government.
We're going to put a button on this whole segment here, talking about the security leaks, the signal security leaks, and Joe Biden and all of that. And I'm just going to read Amy's comment. You let a dementia patient lead the country for 4 years. That alone was a walking national security risk.
Well, that just about sums up that whole segment.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
It's true. We can do the like, but what about Chuck Schumer just the other day, maybe yesterday, went to his podium and he said he expects the same outrage from Republicans regarding this issue that they did surrounding Hillary Clinton's emails. And I'm like, you don't get to do that.
No,
you don't get to do that because you didn't have outrage on it. You don't get to selectively choose when the outrage is applied. You don't get to do that. I understand the hypocrisy. You're going to say that Republicans were really, really worked up and outraged about Hillary Clinton's emails. I said that on this show. Like, we had problems with this then. We had problems with various things that were not handled the way they should and that cost Americans lives. Let's talk about Afghanistan, that stellar operation that the Biden administration had to just get done so that they could say they ended the war. They didn't care how they ended it or who died in the process. The negligence and the apathy of the Biden administration to do whatever ended up happening, collateral damage and all, if they felt like they could politically spin it their way, they just did it. From a national security standpoint, they let millions and millions and millions of people into this country, and they said that the border was secure. They lied to your face that the border was secure. So I think I can sit here and I think I can say this signal thing is a screw up and it needs to get fixed. And we need to make sure that there is something in place that doesn't allow this to happen again. They don't need Annie Fry in St. Louis, Missouri to like boldly say that, to know that. These people know that. They understand it. They didn't want this to happen. They're going to fix it. But in this case, nobody died. The mission was executed the way it was supposed to be. So if we want to do the whataboutisms, Chuck Schumer, you don't get to do that because your party's mistakes cost people lives. That hasn't been the case in this situation. I pray to God that the Trump administration and no other Democrat administration ever in the future makes a mistake that costs an American life.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
But to suggest that, all right, Republicans, now's the time to see if you're going to be a hypocrite about this. You need to have as much rage about this as you had about Hillary's emails.
Yeah. And
wait a second. Which Wiggins America are we doing?
Oh, we're going to do the one where I'm proving that the National Democrat brand is on the rebound.
I was going to say, I was feeling pretty strong right now, and I was about to see how flexible the new FCC chairman is. But I won't. I'm going to choose in this moment to be better than that.
I tell you what, it is fair. We'll be fair to Chuck Schumer. And I'm trying to be fair in Wiggins America, too. That's the whole theme here.
Today.
Today. when they try to bleach bit 40,000 signal messages before taking them public or to Congress.
And then take a hammer to the devices after the fact.
And then, yeah, and then hammer them all up. And, oh, by the way, just like you mentioned in that segment there, they also, 2% of all the government money that their foundation was getting on the side went to its actual cause. if all of that happens concerning this signal thing, I'm fine with getting outraged about it. We will do that.
All right.
Just to be fair.
Take a quick break. Ryan's going to explain to us how the Democrats might be on the rebound. There's a certain way you can tell from what I understand. And Ryan's going to show us the light here. Help us understand where the strength of the Democrats might be coming from. We'll be right back.